Rome, founded in 753 BC, has become known in modern times as the Eternal City, largely because of the alleged eternal nature of the Vatican. It has a state in its own right. It has only existed for a little over 70 years. According to legend, Romulus and Remus founded the original city on the Palatine Hill, from whence it gradually spread to six other hills east of the River Tiber, eventually becoming known as the City of the Seven Hills. The Roman Empire reached its height of prosperity in the early centuries AD, having been gradually but surely built upon the combination of wealth, military might, and paganism. Then a massive economic crisis caused the empire to double the size of its armies to protect itself in constant warfare, which witnessed the shaking of the foundations of the empire. In AD 286, the emperor Diocletian divided the empire into east and west because he believed it could no longer be safely held together and ruled by one man. The change to the political structure of the Roman Empire had a lasting effect on the world affairs to this present time. In AD 313, Constantine the First, made emperor in AD 306, issued the Edict of Milan, making Christianity legal. But this form of religion was a perversion of some early Christian beliefs, combined with paganism, which resulted in the development of a powerful church system. After his death in AD 337, the single growing force amongst the general disintegration of the empire was the church. In time, pagan temples became churches named after so-called saints. Pagan feast days became identified with Christian festivals, and so on. And by this time, false doctrines had been introduced into the church, and others were to follow in due course. Centuries later, the church became a more powerful political influence, and the popes gained control over an area in central Italy, which became known as the Papal States. For a period of 500 years from the latter part of the 5th century, the most dominant power that ruled Europe was the Catholic Church. The period became known as the Dark Ages. The people were poor, oppressed, and kept in ignorance. They lived in fear and superstition under the yoke of the unbelievably wealthy and powerful church. But a change was inevitable. In 1793, Europe was shaken by the French Revolution, which resulted in political changes of lasting effect. In 1870, that power was removed. And yet, the Roman Catholic system, as we see it today, still influences the world politics of today. But for how long? Now, this background to our lecture this afternoon only serves to introduce the subject of today's lecture. The evidence of history supports what the Bible predicted and warned against, that false teaching would be superimposed upon the Christian religion. The historian, Edward Gibbon, in his book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, traces the development of Catholicism out of the decline of the original doctrines of the apostles. He recorded that the basic fundamental doctrine of early Christianity is the teaching of Christ's second advent, The Bible teaches that Christ is to return personally and visibly, to put down all rule, all authority, and all power, and to establish a new world order on the earth. If we look at Acts chapter 1 to begin with. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. This is where it is recorded of Christ's ascension. Verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Here is a promise of his return, visibly, personally, to the earth. What for? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The purpose for his return. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. What for? Verse 25. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That this has not happened yet is clear. But what will it actually involve as far as politics of today's world? Well, it will involve political and social changes on a vast scale. It will result in one universal ruler. If you go to Daniel chapter 2, to show that it's not just confined to the New Testament. Daniel chapter 2. And verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And if you look at Zechariah chapter 14, and verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Unity, a universal ruler. Christ's law will emanate from Jerusalem to the social, moral, political, and ecclesiastical well-being of mankind. It clearly shows then that the papacy is completely astray from Bible teaching. And one of its teachings is that the kingdom is already in existence and identifies it with the Catholic Church. Therefore, its leader, the Pope, reigns as king, the vicar of Christ and of God. In 1870, the infallibility of the Pope was endorsed with the rule that all that he says is accepted as authoritative, as the voice of heaven, and so beyond dispute. So what is today's subject all about? Where is the proof of the downfall of Rome, the eternal city? As we know, the Bible is a revelation from God, and at least a third is prophetical. The last book of the Bible is aptly named Revelation, which sets forth a prophetical outline of things which must shortly come to pass from the days of the Apostle John. What things? The historical developments which would undermine the apostolic communities holding forth the word of the truth of the gospel as it is in Jesus. It also foretells the development of a system of ecclesiastical apostasy that would arise. And this we can clearly identify with Roman Catholicism. If you go to the book of Revelation and chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And they came, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 2, John is shown a vision of a woman seated upon a beast, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5, she's given a title. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Some people have a great difficulty realizing the identity of this woman, because we read a great deal about Babylon. To understand this vision, we must realize that the book of Revelation is merely a book of symbols. The message contained therein was sent and signified by God, like hieroglyphics. It's a wall in Egypt full of these little word pictures. And these word pictures are symbols that stand for the God that they worshipped, the way of life that they led, the political scene at the time, but they were nevertheless symbols of their society. And so it is in the book of Revelation. There are signs and symbols that mean something. In its pages, we will discover symbolic languages describing stars falling from heaven, rivers drying up, a beast that combines a leopard, a bear, lion, and dragon, or the crocodile, whose tail encircles a third of the stars of heaven and casts them onto the earth. And other impossible items that can only be understood if the meaning of the symbols is searched out. It is much the same as in equations, mathematics. We get many symbols that mean something. You take algebra in its purest form. Very difficult subject to start with, even at an early age. And without the values of those symbols, we could never work out the equation. But if you were given those values to begin with, then the equation is easy to work out. A plus B equals C. If A equals 2 and B equals 1, what's the value of C? 3. That's easy. Right. Throughout the book of Revelation and other parts of Scripture are explanations of symbols. So we replace the letters with the symbols. Let's replace the letter C, which is the answer, with verse 5 of chapter 17. Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The letter C. That's the answer. What about the sum that made up the letter C? Let's give the value of B, verse 1. This unfaithful woman is seen sitting upon many waters. Let's add to B the value of A. Drunken, verse 6, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Here are the symbols A and B that equal C. We find the symbolic value of C by discovering the symbolic values of the answer given. A, we could refer to Revelation 17 and verse 15. He said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Waters in this respect is a symbol for people, multitudes, nations. It describes the woman's universal influence. So the whore does not relate to a literal harlot, but to an unfaithful ecclesiastical system. You might need to know that the word Catholic literally means sitting upon all. What about the value of B? Revelation 18 and verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. The downfall of Babylon, in which the apostles are commanded to rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets. Why were they called upon to rejoice? Because God hath avenged you on her. So the Babylon described here was the murderer of the apostles. Ask yourselves this question. Who killed the apostles? It was not Babylon on the Euphrates, nor the Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar that put the apostles to death. It was Rome on the Tiber, the Babylon of the Seven Hills. What is the value of C? Verse 9, chapter 18. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Who are we talking about? Verse 9 of Revelation 17. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. What city reigned over the kings of the earth in apostolic days? This identifies the mystery woman, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, with Rome. None other. Ironically, there is a Catholic Bible known as the Jerusalem Bible, and it identifies the beast of Revelation 16 and verse 10 with these words, Rome. A type of all pagan powers hostile to God. It further comments upon the famous prostitute, the mother of harlots, in Revelation 17, verse 1. Rome, a type of any place where evil is supreme. Prostitution symbolizes idolatry, and it is in their own Catholic Bible, the Jerusalem Bible. And giving a Catholic interpretation of Babylon the Great, in Revelation 17, verse 5, it says in a simple term, Babylon is the symbolic name for Rome. Now, in Revelation 18, we're given a great deal of information regarding the downfall of Babylon at the time of the end. But the prophecy also predicts opposition by the Babylon the Great and those countries in league or dominated by her to the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14 of Revelation 18, of Revelation 17, I should say, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." It is a fact that the Roman Catholic Church believes that Antichrist will arise to threaten the Church's future. It claims that Antichrist will establish his power in Jerusalem, seek to revive the kingdom of Israel, proclaim the intention of rebuilding the temple that once existed in Jerusalem, and proclaim himself as king and Messiah, ordering all nations to submit to his rule. And they are not wrong. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. But he's certainly not Antichrist. He is Antichrist to them, but he's certainly not Antichrist. It is true that Christ will return to raise from the dead and grant eternal life to those who have been faithful to his commandments. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption." And this leaves out the Catholic faith. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Again, Christ will overthrow the nations that will be gathered to Jerusalem for battle. We've seen that in Daniel chapter 2. It is true that Jesus will establish himself there as king. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, there shall be one Lord, and his name one. The quote from Zechariah 14, verse 9. It's true also that he will call upon all nations to submit to his worship and rule. Revelation 14, verse 6. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." a new world order will begin. It will replace all the nations of the world that exist today. The whole way of life on earth will change, transform. The people of the world will learn to worship God acceptably and in truth. And the evils of today's generation, today's society, will be swept away. If you go to Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, Israel, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Then is going to be a vast change in today's society and in its political scene. The people of the world are going to learn. And learn what? Not from the ecclesiastical systems of today, but from the Lord, to worship God acceptably and to learn of his truth as it should have been from the beginning. But the identity of Antichrist is misrepresented. The proclamation of Revelation 18 and verse 1 is unmistakable. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We have seen in the Old Testament that it says Babylon is fallen, and it's reiterated here. Verse 2, Babylon the Great is fallen, which we've identified already. From the Jerusalem Bible itself, Rome has fallen. It's unmistakable that the Lord Jesus Christ will destroy that corrupting influence of the world. It didn't occur in the days of John, because in Revelation 18 verse 4 it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that he be not partakers of her sins, and that he receive not of her plagues. This was an appeal in John's day for people to withdraw themselves, be separate, be holy unto God, to withdraw from this evil system. Withdraw from the influence of this harlot in the days of John. And it's been going on since, right up until today. In the days of John, this was a future vision. And this is confirmed in another part of Scripture. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by a gathering together unto him, that he be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And if these words are spoken then, what of today? We are living in the very epoch of Christ's return. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they come a falling away first. The apostasy took place even then. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the head of the Catholic faith, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is a God. And that's what the Pope does. He is instead of God. People in the Catholic faith worship him as God. He is reputedly the vicar of Christ. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And these were in the days of the apostles. And now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And today is the time of his revelation. Today it matters. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And it's been building and building and building on this rocky foundation. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And that day is coming, when he will be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, his presence in the earth. The light of the word of the gospel of truth will reveal that wicked one. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. All these facts will be revealed. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Count the number of faithful conversions to the Catholic faith. Count the amount of people that are in the Catholic faith. They say, well, I am a Catholic, but I'm a lapsed Catholic. That's a ridiculous statement. When the Pope speaks, they jump. That they all might be damned, condemned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What a testimony to all believers of the truth. Brethren, sisters, beloved of God, because God hath chosen you from the beginning for salvation. People who have ears to hear, eyes to see, people who search the Scriptures, who live the truth. What a testimony to those who believe. through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by the gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. And then is another appeal. Hold the traditions. What's he talking about? Traditions. Not the traditions of the world, surely. No. The traditions of the word of the gospel, which you have already been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. Who cares about the world? They can say what they like about us. We know that God loves us. We know that his Son loves us. And hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, the hope of Israel. So, comfort your hearts. Establish you in every good word and work. Because all that matters is that God cares for us, looks after us, tries us, but he looks after us. That's our consolation in this time. But in the time to come, we will be the rulers and the priests of the world. That's the good consolation. Revelation 18 in verse 3 shows the reason of Babylon's fall. All nations have parleyed with her throughout generations, throughout the centuries. They've become the merchants of the earth that are rich, wax rich through the abundance of her delicacies. They traded through her. She's become the medium of all nations, but at the same time have become drunk with the fornication that she envisages. If you look at Revelation 18 and verse 23, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her, well, we know the identification of Babylon now. In Rome was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth for the truth's sake. For the truth's sake. Think back to ancient times. Where upon the earth did Rome have no influence? Just think on that. Because they were in Britain, they were in Europe, they were in Africa, they were in the lower parts of Asia. They had a vast empire based on Roman superstition and all abominations of the earth, gaining power, wealth, ecclesiastical privileges. It spread over to South America. What part of the globe did Rome not have any power? It is a vast influence in the earth. And it is still a vast influence in the earth. Politically, during the war, during the last world wars, it has only now come out that the Pope was instrumental in supporting Hitler. But a catastrophic time of affliction is fast approaching Rome, the so-called eternal city. And her destruction will send all her supporters into utter panic and perplexity, as the merchants of the earth lament the loss of her wealth and her privileges and her influence. And this is described in Revelation 18, verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward Rome even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give Rome. For Rome saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall Rome's plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine. And Rome shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth Rome. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with Rome shall bewail Rome and lament for Rome when they shall see the smoke of Rome's burning, standing afar off with the fear of Rome's torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great eternal city, Rome, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over Rome, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, Africa, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon. The list is endless of the influence of Rome. Slaves, souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. What is that going to do to today's society? Where is that going to support their followers when it is all gone? Hunger, famine, destruction, hatred. That's what this world will end up under the Catholic faith. Verse 16, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. Every shipmaster, all the companies and ships and sailors and many as trade by sea, gone. No more trade. No more merchant ships. What city, verse 18, is like unto this great city? In 1 hour she is made desolate. And the Lord God says to those who believe, Rejoice. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. What a catastrophic time of affliction lies ahead. Can we all put our trust in Rome to ensure a bright and wonderful future in light of what is to become of her? Together with the Vatican, it will vanish from the face of the earth, disappearing beneath the sea. Verse 21 says, A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. That is as plain as you can get it. And it is the truth. It is suggested that Vesuvius, which is a volcanic mountain, is currently lying dormant. It will erupt and cause a vast earthquake, which will sink that region below the waves. Rome, sits on the edge of it. The time of Christ's second appearing is drawing very near. All the signs given in the Bible are apparent and are about to be fulfilled. Now is the time of opportunity to learn the truth of the Scriptures and to become of the gospel message of the kingdom and listen to the appeal of the Bible. Revelation 18 verse 4 says, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." In another place, Christ commanded that all should repent and be baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.